Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. I hope everybody's doing okay, relatively speaking. Of course, we are, for the most part, in lockdown. There are still states in America that don't have their schools closed and restaurants and bars and essential needs stuff only open. But we'll see where this goes. I'm not going to go on too long of a talk about the coronavirus at this point, because we did talk about this in the last couple of podcasts, how, you know, we're here just to try to help you out, get, you know, help you guys get through some of this. Not like my voice and my, you know, just me talking about stuff's going to help you get through it, but it's a distraction. You know what I mean? It's a distraction. So there is a variety of stuff that we'll get into. And like I said, I do have shows coming up week after week after week, whether it's, you know, boxing, boxing. It's about boxing, just so you know. But whether it's going to be boxers or behind-the-scenes trainers, managers, that type of thing. I'll also be doing a first quarter progress report, just kind of break down what's happened so far in the ring anyway. And at some point, we will preview the fights that we had on the schedule. They're now gone, but man, we started to really stack up April and May with fights. And, you know, Espinoza actually did an interview not long ago. I haven't heard all of it, but I did hear him mention, and I think there was an article on Boxing Scene or someplace that said, you know, when we get back, it's going to be on and popping. You know what I mean? And that does make a lot of sense. And I mean, what I mean by that, obviously, is the schedule. The schedule is going to be jam-packed, and it's going to be really tough for these venues. You know what I mean? I do think that it won't be the traditional venues at all times, especially if they want to jam-pack the schedule. I mean, it was already a jam-packed schedule, if you think about it, the way boxing is now with all, you know, these three major platforms putting on stuff. So, or four really major platforms, I guess you could say. So, we're going to talk about that. We're going to do our year and change progress report on the PBC on Fox deal, much like we've talked about with DAZN and Top Rank and all that. So, there's a variety of stuff that we're going to get to while we're waiting to see just how bad this thing gets. Obviously, my heart goes out to everybody. Thoughts definitely with you, especially, though, I mean, everybody in the world, right? But especially New York right now. In New Jersey, it's not getting talked about enough. Of course, Washington, you know, had the issues pretty early on. They had that nursing home that had a bunch of deaths in it. So, yeah, obviously we haven't hit our apex just yet. We're still maybe 10 days away, maybe much longer. It's tough to say. We're just kind of looking at Italy and Spain and some other countries and kind of you know, doing it there. But I bring out New York and obviously L.A. because it's the size, San Francisco as well, just because of the size and the density of it. We knew those were going to be the hardest hitting, but we really don't know. I mean, in Minnesota, we've only had one death, but there are like six or seven folks, unfortunately, in the ICU. So it's really tough, you know, to tell how many deaths we're going to have and when we can get back to any kind of normalcy. But anyway, like I said, there are many shows to come. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. I am going to deliver content, but I want to make sure it's legit content too. I don't want to get on here and talk about one fight, a classic fight, and then shut it down and give you just nothing, basically. You know what I mean? I want to give you guys something to chew on. You know what I mean? Just like we talk about with promoters, and if it's a stay busy fight on the main event, you got to give us hardcore boxing fans and boxing fans in general something that you want on the undercard. So, sorry about that. I had to get something to drink. My state basically suspended a bunch of items, you know, stores and schools and all sorts of stuff, bars, restaurants, you know, besides the essentials, until this Friday. And that was kind of a wait and see approach. They did it basically about 10 days, and then they're just kind of waiting and see. But even today, the governor's already come out and said, as far as bars and restaurants and schools and stuff like that, basically gatherings of 50 or more in a sense, right? What we heard, you know, from the CDC that a few weeks back when they said for 8 months, you know, no less than 50 or more than 50, I should say. But anyway, they said that they're going to extend that. And they're waiting for these next couple of days to get some more data coming back on how bad it's spreading here and whatnot. So as of right now, I work at a bar, so I'm out of work right now. Hopefully Congress is getting their shit together and getting some checks in the mail here in April. I'm going through the unemployment process right now. But anybody that's out there that's in a much tougher situation than I am at this point, I do have a potential backup plan for a different job already, so I'm okay. I'm not here complaining about anything, to be honest with you. But I feel for all the folks that have kids and had to, you know, have a job that you got to go to, but you feel like shit and you can't go to the hospital because you don't feel that as bad as they, you know, a lot of people, you got to feel, you got to be just horrible. It's almost to the point where you can't breathe to get one of these tests. You know what I mean? Really matters where you are. And I tried to, I just went on a coughing thing there. I'm okay, guys. I tried to sneak in a little sip of water between words, and that backfired. Went down the wrong hole. Pause. But anyway, like I said, it's frustrating. It's scary. It's tense times for a lot of people. I'm not up here saying that I got it bad or anything like that. Just kind of filling you in where I'm at. So hopefully everybody, we're definitely going to get through this, guys. So let's just keep pushing through. I do have a variety of stuff to talk about, though, like I mentioned. And I'm going to talk about Dana White and play some interview. I'm going to play some interview and some audio of him with Kevin Aoli. And we're gonna talk a little bit about it. And the reason why I'm bringing up this UFC is because they're planning an event to go through in April. And Dana, until he got shut down like in Nevada, he was ready to go. You know, he was gonna keep this train going. So it pertains to boxing fans because, hey, if they can do a UFC event, I don't know what state it's going to be. There isn't a ton of detail, but there is some interesting points there. We'll also give you some WBC updates, and I'm not here trying to, you know, talk about the WBC too much, but they did have some updates, and one of them is really, really, really interesting, and it has to do with Jermell Charlo. There's some really good news out of Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Davis. that not a lot of people are talking about. I'm not talking about the date it's going to happen. I'm talking about the weight that it's going to happen at. Eddie Hearn has been talking to Dillian White in the WBC, kind of lurking at that WBC belt. And he said he's going to keep an eye on it. You know, he's going to keep an eye on this whole situation with Tyson Fury and this Farmer thing, right? Because obviously when Dillian White had his problem with UCAD, the WBC put him on the back burner. So obviously Eddie, you know, I can't blame Eddie for thinking that way. There are a variety of other fights that are being negotiated right now that we'll talk about. Billy Joe Saunders had a prank that he said wasn't a prank, but it turned out to be a prank. Kind of weird stuff, but it ended up screwing Ben Davis and Josh Taylor. We'll talk a little bit about that. Go figure, Billy Joe messing around. Japan boxing, which has given us many gifts over the last, you know, chunk of years, right? But they're talking about they're ready to return as far as having boxing events potentially as early as May. We'll give you a little bit more update there. We'll update you on the Olympics as well. That's not looking good. So there are a variety of stuff. Obviously, you know, we're not going to preview fights and predict fights and recap what happened or anything like that. I mean, the only stuff I'll say is there was that fight from here in Minnesota up there, about 75 miles north at a city up there, kind of by Elmo. No, I'm just kidding. I just like to say that. It was at the Grand, I think it was the Grand Casino, right? Something like that. But it was on Native American land, so they couldn't do anything about it, right, as far as shutting it down. But there was – so I'm thinking about some stuff that's already gone by, in this time frame, and that's why I brought up that one. But also there was a fight or an event in Thailand. And there's like – there was a couple of people that caught the coronavirus. Now there's like multiple people. I believe it was up to like 75 for the folks that actually caught the coronavirus just from going there. So there are some little updates and stuff like that that I'll give to you here. But if this is your first time listening to the Robidope Radio Podcast, welcome. Thanks for supporting me during this time frame. But like I said, if this is your first time listening to it, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/Robidope Radio. It streams live and archives right there. But you don't have to just go on Blog Talk and download it or listen to it in the browser or whatever. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. The Robidope Radio Podcast also is available on iTunes or iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. Also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found across the board as well, including Spotify. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platform. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're not quite happy, obviously a lot of folks are archiving stuff right now, right? A lot of folks on Netflix and just watching a bunch of stuff on cable. I got something for you here, and it's affordable. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial, and there's either way, there's no annual contract to tie you down. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR, and right now Showtime's only $11 a month. Obviously, I'm pertaining that to Showtime Boxing for boxing fans. You can try it. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. But if your internet is just really, really bad, right, or if you're in the part of the country that you just can't upgrade it, it's just bad, there is AT&T TV, and that's the normal cable platform. It's a growing network, though, so it really – I should say a growing platform, cable platform, AT&T TV. So it's not available anywhere. You could just Google it, you know, put your area code in there, see, you know, if it's available. Folks in Minneapolis here in Minnesota have AT&T TV now, parts of New York City, parts of California, Florida, Texas, all the way up to Seattle and Washington, and other places, you know, the Midwest and Kansas and St. Louis and whatnot. So that's AT&T TV. Otherwise, the live streaming cable is AT&T TV now. Okay, so I want to get into one item that would excite me, massively, in a sense, anyway. Boy, that I was just all over with that, wasn't I? I'll tell you what. There is a fight being talked about right now, and I don't have a date. There are no dates in boxing right now. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? There really isn't. There's just not many dates right now. And, well, there's none, obviously, right now. But I'm saying in general, right? We're in a holding pattern. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes. But, you know, there is some stuff that's going on behind the scenes that's pretty freaking interesting. And one of them that I noticed today was Arislandi Lara and Jermell Charlo. Okay? Kind of interesting. This is on BoxingScene.com. This is Miguel Rivera. And according to World Boxing Council President Mauricio Suleiman, by the way, years ago, we did a great, great interview with him. And this is actually when we talked about rehydration, and we talked about drug testing, talked about a variety of stuff. You should archive it on Blog Talk. Really, really good interview. All right, shameless plug there. Just search it. You'll find it. So anyway, according to Mr. Suleiman, WBC junior middleweight champion Jermell Charlo submitted a request to make a voluntary defense against WBA regular junior middleweight champ Arislandi Lara. Now, the WBA super champ, obviously, is Jason Rosario, who beat, you know, Julian Williams. Charlo and Lara forming training and sparring partners when the two were with Ronnie Shields. Obviously, now Charlo left Shields. He's with Derek James. That's pretty freaking cool. That's really cool. We know that it's not going to happen before May for obvious reasons. Actually, not only March and April, but the PBC has come out and said that they're canceling all the way in through May, too. They had a couple of cards that they hadn't released yet, but they were ready to be released. That's gone. I'll tell you what. That would be bomb. That would be bomb. So it's up to him, basically. Like, not up to him, but, you know, they got to negotiate and whatnot. But that'd be a great fight, dude. That'd be a great fight. And I'm not saying, oh, the stylistically, that's the best fight that can be had. You know what I mean? I'm not talking it, you know, I'm not saying it like that. But it's a damn good, you know, matchup of top-tier guys. I mean, even that Jared Hurd, when he was looking like a zombie going forward at guys and just wearing them down, right? He still needed that 12th-round knockdown to beat Lara. So that would be a damn good fight. And now, do I want, you know, the Rosario fight? Yeah, but we know that Rosario has a mandatory. We know that the management there, and the promoter, I should say, has said that, you know, that Charlo fight's not going to happen next, that they maybe by the end of the year, and this is what he was saying, you know, a month ago, which is obviously probably not going to happen at the end of the year. But just something to look at. I mean, stylistically, talk about like a chess match. You know, sometimes I like all sorts of fighters, styles and all that. But This would be just a skills fest. This is a, in the middle of the ring. And actually, Charlo would probably push forward like he did against Harrison. And, you know, if you look at the Harrison fight, if you look at the Johnson fight, like he's – or Jackson fight, I should say. He's had issues with guys that are very skilled on the outside or just pretty damn good on the outside. Harrison, very skilled on the outside. Obviously, Arislandi Lara as well. So, you know, Charlo's improved going forward, no doubt about it. But I'm not ready to just say, oh, he's the best come forward fighter, you know, one of the best out there. He obviously has sat down on his punches more. And like I said, he's basically a couple years ago, what was that, 2016, when he fought Jackson, he said in that fight, I'm going to go chase him. I'm going to knock him out. And he needed a knockout to win that fight. And it was like 6-4 on my scorecard against Harrison in the rematch before he knocked him out. Now, I know that 2 out of 3 scorecards, I believe it was 2 out of 3, had Charlo up, but, you know, I didn't agree with the scorecards of the first fight. So I really like that matchup. And to go from a solid opponent in Harrison to go to Arislandi Lara when you couldn't get the J-Rock fight, now you're not able to get the Rosario fight, I think that would be a damn good matchup, and I'll take it. I'll take it for sure. That's a damn good matchup, man. I really like that. As far as, like, other WBC, you know, news and notes and updates and all that, I mean, a lot of it's just stuff we already know that's canceled. You know, there is a kind of interesting one here, junior bantamweight. That kind of surprised me a little bit, but junior bantamweight champ Juan Francisco Estrada has a deal in place to face number 4 contender Carlos Quadros in June, or when he can, and the winner will then face Amando against Rungvisai. Kind of interesting how we get to that place because, you know, he just beat Rungvisai, but it is what it is. But there's also talk about Roman Gonzalez and Juan Francisco Estrada in talks getting that together. So, you know, maybe they are – I could see a lot of these behind-the-scenes folks just, you know, if they don't have anything better to do right now besides, you know, take care of themselves, their family and whatnot, and make sure their friends and family are okay and, you know, whatever – they're probably just like, screw it, man. Let's get a bunch of backup plans and let's just get a bunch of these fights made. That way, when we're up and running, we can hit the ground running. So, but like I said, I also heard Roman Gonzalez and Juan Francisco Estrada are in negotiations as we speak. In fact, Zanfer Promotions said Wednesday that the negotiations started between Gonzalez and Estrada. Obviously, Zanfer, the side, you know, promotion said they ideally would like to fight later in 2000 or later in the year. In 2012 in Los Angeles, Gonzalez retained his junior flyweight title by decision over Estrada in a fantastic battle. This is from Dan Raphael on ESPN.com. So basically saying, you know, Gonzalez knocked out Yafai with another Estrada is on the mend. He is hurt right now. That has kept him out of action since August. The rematch looms as most significant fight for either man is very doable as they're both with DAZN. So it's a little funky there. I they're saying later in the year, so that's why I'm assuming Estrada and Quadros would happen and that would get him going. You know what I mean? But it's tough to say. Let's see if there's any. Junior featherweight champ Ray Vargas could still have his planned defense against Emmanuel Rodriguez. What else we got here? Oh, they're still negotiating. Junior lightweight champ Miguel Burchelt is still negotiating with mandatory challenger Oscar Valdez. It's kind of weird that they're still going back and forth because that was going to be a co-feature, I heard, on May 9th, or it was going to be a fight on May 16th on ESPN. But, I mean, both those guys need a big fight, especially Burchelt. and especially Burchell with someone in his prime, that would be big, man. That would be really, really big. Franchise lightweight champ Vasily Lomachenko still has, you know, a deal with Teofimo, while Luke Campbell and Javier still have orders to fight a bank at regular, blah, blah. Why Devin Haney recovers, yada. Here we go. This one's a little interesting. Not a big surprise, but welterweight champ Errol Spence must face Danny Garcia upon his return. So he has to face Danny, and he was going to fight Danny in January, but I guess he's got to now. He's got to. We already went over this. He requested permission, did Jermell Charlo for the Lara fight. Let's see what else we got. I think that's about it. Yeah, that's about it for the WBC. I'd say some really interesting news out of there for, Estrada and Quadros. That's a good fight. And then if Estrada gets to do that, then he'd fight Gonzalez. But then again, I'm not sure because they just got done saying Rungvisai would be the man, though. So maybe he'd take step-aside money. You know, if the next couple of fights are that for Estrada, hey, sign me up. You know what I mean? Also, the WBO has postponed all their fights, sanctioning those fights, through June. But then again, if we did get up and running in June, my guess is they'd be like, you know what? This is great. Everything's fine. We're fine. You know what I mean? So I'm sure they just go back to business as usual. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I doubt it on that one. I doubt it. But, yeah, the two biggest items, though, is obviously Jermell, asking for permission from the WBC to fight Lara, and then basically the WBC saying, hey, you have to fight Danny Garcia. Spence also recently just put out a message saying, if the fight with Crawford doesn't happen this year, it'll for sure happen next year. And obviously I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it happens this year. It just won't really line up with, he has mandatories because he's got two belts. And there's fights that are going to be, with Ugas and some other people, that Lipinets and some other fights that are going to create mandatory. So I wouldn't doubt if he fights, Danny Garcia, and then in the fall at some point, or who knows when that fight would be, if that's July or August, what that would mean then for Spence. So I don't know, man. It'd be great, to get this thing going, but a lot of it is just talk at this point, obviously. I'm trying to find the part where, or the post, the research. Oh, here we go. If we don't fight this year, then definitely next year we're going to fight. Next year it's going to happen, real talk for sure. And he basically said, July or August, Danny Garcia, the WBC and IBF welterweight champion, has not fought since blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So if he fights in July, August, then, I wouldn't doubt if, let's say July at the earliest, August at the earliest. Okay. Then, if he's got to fight Amanda, I just don't know if that works. And I don't see that Crawford fight happen. But, I did see a potential case for next February and line it up just like they did with Wilder and Fury. And Spence would have two fights in that time, same with Crawford. Maybe it'd be Danny Garcia and Pacquiao. Maybe Pacquiao's not involved anymore, I'm not sure. But just something to, bite on, I guess you could say, pause, something to chew on. Couple of other items here. Oh, Japan. So Japan is talking about possibly being able to return to boxing events in May. Here's a little side note. This is Michelle Steele on Twitter. South Korea has aggressively tested the cases of corona and won praise for its handling of the pandemic. The country basketball league now has games scheduled at the end of this month after a 4-week-long hiatus. So that's interesting. And obviously, we're a smaller country. U.S. is a smaller country, much smaller country than that, or bigger country, sorry. South Korea is much smaller. But obviously, you know, you look at like, just look at South Korea and then look at just New York alone. It kind of lines up all messed up. I really don't know. That's all speculation. But hey, I'm trying to give you, you know, some hope at the end of this, some light at the end of the tunnel. And to me, that's kind of interesting. You know, maybe we could get this thing going, you know, by the end of summer or by summertime, whatever that may be. According to Asian Boxing, earlier today, the Japan Boxing Commission and Japan Professional Boxing Association held a meeting to discuss what the plan is for boxing, you know, in Japan, in regards to coronavirus. Amazingly and somewhat surprisingly, the plan that came out in today's meeting is for the sport to resume in Japan in May, with May 2nd penciled in for the next show. The plan is that even when sports resumes, there will be rules, you know, in place that promoters need to follow. These include temperature checks as fans come into the venue. And they're talking about fans coming into the venue. No selling tickets on the day. And from what we understand, only allow fans to sit in alternating seats. So every other seat, try to limit the effects of the coronavirus in the country, as well as prohibiting sale of standing tickets. So standing room tickets, because you're standing by people, I assume, you know, not selling them the day of, meaning lines, you know, standing in line to buy it. Basically, they're easing their way back. This comes from badlefthook.com, by the way. I don't know, man. You know, Japan isn't the only country looking to get back. How do you say that guy's name? But they're talking about Thailand is scheduled for May 2nd. Oh, yeah, in the Josh Taylor fight has been postponed as well. But May 2nd seems kind of early, but, you know, not totally. I mean, it's tough to say. You know what I mean? It is tough to say. But, you know, I guess, like I said, I'm just trying to give you a little hope there and hoping that maybe we can, you know, get something back here. Right now, I've seen some people come in the last chunk of minutes here over the last, well, what I've been on, 20 minutes or something, I don't know. I do see someone that pressed one. I'll be right with you. I'm having a little switchboard issues. I've been refreshing it, so hold on. Just give me a little bit more time. It's a private number, which I don't see those as much as we used to, but just hang on for a second. I'll definitely try to get you in here if I can, okay? So, yeah, Japan is nearing, you know, what they think they could start and get going, you know, and I've always said, if, you know, there is a potential that we'll get like the TV studio type fights, the, you know, a very tight knit, real small vent, it's a venue technically, but I bring up TV studio because Bob Arum and some other folks have mentioned TV studios and how they could be perfectly set up for boxing. Now, it's going to be a little weird to see nobody in the crowd, but there's plenty of shows where there's not many people in the crowd. So could boxing come back? So I just got some help, and they're going to return my message even further with more detail on the switchboard. So I should know here very soon, just so you know, for those for that person that's holding. Everybody else is just kind of chilling. If you want to press one, join in, that's cool. If not, that's cool too. Bear with me, though, private number, whoever that is. And if I know you, you can text me so I know who you are. But other than that, that's cool too. I don't mind private numbers, just don't know who it is, that's all. So I can see boxing coming back, like I mentioned last week, you know, in that less than 50, you know, or no more than 50 people at an, you know, in a gathering, like the CDC said a couple weeks back. So, you know, there is, like I said, light at the end of the tunnel, but this could really mean something here. Here's Dana White talking about his views on, you know, this virus and how it's not going to slow him down, not just personally, but, you know, his company, UFC. And like I said, they're already talking about April 18th to do a fight. So if he can find a commission, you know, because like I said, I think there's like 33 or 38 states, something like that, that have actually went pretty much on shutdown, whether it's schools and bars and restaurants and that type of thing. But there's states that haven't, obviously. There's states that have, you know, 30 cases and no one's even come near to die yet. So there is potential, but, you know, in 10 days, in 2 weeks, that might be totally different. But here is a clip of Dana White all pumped up.
April 18th is happening. Where are we going to go? Is it going to be in Abu Dhabi? Is it going to be in Russia? Do you know yet? I do, but I'm not ready to tell you yet. You are a big teaser. I know lots of things. Logistically, that's got to be a nightmare. I mean, what are the biggest issues now you face? Because not only is it tough moving a fight on short notice from where it was going to be, but now you have this global pandemic that's creating havoc with travel and everything. How do you overcome all that? Are people going to fly private? Those are all the things that we're still working on. Obviously, you know, every time we put on an event every weekend, there's all kinds of problems. Lots of things happen. Logistically and as far as, you know, tons of different things happen. We figure it out. That's what we do. That's the business that we're in. And we've been doing it for 20 years. We're the best at it. And we will get this thing worked out. This fight will happen on that date. On pay-per-view, on ESPN Plus, and the whole.
So, April 18th, Khabib Ferguson is on. You know, where is it at? Obviously, it doesn't sound like it's here. You know what I mean? But I guess I don't know for a fact, but it doesn't sound like it. Later in the interview, though, he did mention how, you know, with so much unemployment, you know, there's obviously a lot of unemployment, maybe up to 30%. Is he thinking about, you know, cheapening the pay-per-view cost? Maybe, you know, instead of 65 or more, you know, matters your setup with ESPN Plus. And Dana White said, let me tell you, you know, how much it's going to cost me to pull this thing off. Yeah, no, we will not be dropping prices, which I can't really say. But here's more of Dana White in general.
I'm not going to stay in my house forever. You know what I mean? I'm not going to stay forever. And I get that, but I mean,
he's a tough guy.
When we're in a situation where it's a public health emergency, this is different than, you know, it's snowing outside. And, you know, I've had a pretty good run, okay? If the coronavirus is what's going to take me out, then so be it. Listen, there's one thing that is guaranteed. We are all going to die. That's guaranteed. How, we don't know. But, you know, there's tons of people dying of heart disease, car accidents, the flu, and all these other things. If this is what's going to get me, it's going to get me. What am I going to do?
But, I guess what I would be concerned about, and I guess what the average person who is questioning your decision, like, I have no doubt that you can pull it off. So, you know, and I think most people who know you as well as I do know that you can get this thing done, even with the logistics. But, that, you know, just it's a global health situation, so other people are going to get sick, not just you. If it was just your health, okay. But it's other people's health that might be at risk. And how do you handle that? And how do you make your decision knowing that, you know, what you decide may have an adverse effect on someone else's health. How would I decide? Everybody who's going to be involved in this thing is going to be involved because they want to be, not because they have to be or they have to do anything. There's not going to be any fans there. This thing will be a closed event. And believe me, we didn't just start thinking about safety when the coronavirus popped up, okay? Something, you know, these are things that normal businesses that are out there right now don't necessarily have to think of on a daily basis.
Right.
Health and safety is something we've been doing long before the coronavirus, and we'll be doing it long after the coronavirus.
All right, there you have it. So where is this fight going to take place? It sounds like overseas, obviously. And by the way, my switchboard's good to go now. And, of course, the private number hung up. I told you to wait, man. I call back, 646-381-4990. No, I understand. Maybe you had stuff going on. I'm just messing with you. So, it is what it is. Like, I don't know. You know, he seems really pumped up on doing it. He's going to do it, you know. So I'd like to really know where is this going to take place? Like what country? We'll see. But I do think boxing does have an advantage there. Bob Arum talked to ESPN about a variety of stuff. One is, you know, there's no way they're going to do Wilder and Fury July 18th. They can't even put the tickets on sale right now. They're going to push it back. They said maybe in October. I could see maybe like the I could see in December too. That is the last month. I could maybe see that late September date as well. That they use for Spence and Porter. Not totally sure. But, yeah, they said, you know, he just basically is like, dude, there's just so much at stake, and hey, we can't even do it. You know, we don't even know if the MGM is going to be open at that time. Nevada State Athletic Commission obviously has canceled all that stuff at this point. You can't guarantee the fighters that the event would take place on that date. We couldn't convince them or ourselves. Where are we gonna train for it? It just doesn't make sense, you know. Selling tickets, you can't sell tickets to the UK fans because they can't even come over. You know what I mean? So, I guess him and Al. This is what he said. Him and Al are on the same page. Early October, so that'd be close to the date I mentioned. I'm sure they just try to find like the weakest college football schedule. That's kind of what it, you know, helps line up anyway. The schedule, like the weekend schedule, Saturday night, you know. Al and his people are in touch with us all the time or on this. We see things the same way. We're very, very cautious moving forward and yada, yada, yada. So that's really no big surprise as well, obviously. That's not even a little bit surprised there. So, couple other items here that I'll get to, and then we'll get out of here. Dillian, we're going to talk about Dillian White a little bit, but he said he drove 40 hours to Portugal for his training camp for Alexander Povetkin fight that he doesn't even know is really going to happen. And he said he did it because of his dog. I mean, did he just drive there? Because he could have got – can't you get dogs on airlines? I mean, prior to the shutdown? But, yeah, I had to drive 40 hours nonstop from my house straight through. I drove there because I brought my dogs with me, and so I didn't want to fly. Oh, dogs, plural. Okay. Quiet, but there's food on the shelves, and I have a good setup here. It's a good base. So he – I mean, it's smart. He said my mindset is, you know, that my date is not canceled. And he was way out of shape. This is from the Daily Mail. He was way out of shape in his last fight. So either way, it's probably going to happen. But 40 hours. It's like, damn, He drove 40 straight hours. Dude, that must have been – you must have been damn tired. Holy cow. I've driven 27 straight hours. Actually, not just me, though. We switched every 4 hours, basically. So you got, like, an hour nap in there. But, yeah, that's that's pretty intense right there, I'd say. I don't know, man. We'll see how this goes. We're going to see how, you know, all this stuff with jobs and unemployment and mortgages and student loans. And we're going to really find out even more about the world, but I'm talking more about our country, because you can go to Canada and they've already, you know, they've already passed legislation. It's really going to be interesting. Just staying on that Dillian White mode, Eddie Hearn has said numerously since the Fury UCAD situation, which, by the way, Tyson Fury is not licensed under UCAD right now. Can they open an investigation on someone that's not licensed? That I don't know. I know that they're shutting down for a little bit. I don't know. But think of, and I'm not comparing the situations exactly, but remember the New York State Commission, Athletic Commission, they couldn't do much to Big Baby Miller as far as a suspension because he wasn't licensed yet. Every year you renew your license. He just hadn't gone through the process yet of, you know, renewing the license. Now, maybe when he actually does fight there, they'll have a hearing or whatever, but I'm just bringing that up because it pertains to, well, how much jurisdiction, you know, how much power can they have for an investigation? I suppose he, you know, he was part of their, he was a licensed fighter there before, so maybe that'll be part of it. But anyway, that's just something to think about as you hear more about a possible investigation. I don't know if there's going to be, but promoter Eddie Hearn, you know, who obviously promotes Dillian White, says the boxer should keep a close eye on the brewing situation involving the WBC world champ Tyson Fury as it pertains to this potential legal battle. I don't know, you know what I mean? It's really tough. UCAD, you know, UCAD might, the UK anti-doping organization, they might open that investigation potentially. Because, you know, the farmer said he said he was going to give me some money and he didn't. And I lied under oath. I'm not even talking about that Martin Kerfoot's, you know, claiming, because I already talked about that last week. But it's not been confirmed how UCAD is handling the information or if they plan to conduct, you know, some sort of investigation. But, of course, Dillian White holds the WBC interim belt. If Fury is removed of his status for any reason, White could very well become the full WBC champ, or they could make a fight. You know, if they somehow investigated him and the WBC has already come out and said, I believe Tyson over a guy that's admits he lies. So that's your answer right there, probably. But he's, you know, they're talking about it. Because also, you know, the WBC, I mentioned, you know, Big Baby Miller, but only because of the licensing thing. But obviously, when White went through his UCAD positive test connection thing against Oscar Rivas in July, he was ultimately cleared, quote unquote. But during the investigation, his status as interim, you know, champion was suspended by the WBC. As I understand, it's going to be looked at into the UCAD, and I guess the truth will come out in the wash. That's what they said about the Dillian White situation. I'll let them deal with that if I'm Dillian right now. I'm looking at the situation knowing that if there's an issue with Tyson Fury as a world champion, he could slide right in there, basically. But this is – oh, this is actually what he said, as I understand, it's going to be looked at by. I guess the truth will come out of the wash. I thought I was still reading a quote based off of the July thing. But no, that was actually pertaining to, you know, that. WBC president. Here's his. He said, you know, he's firmly in the Fury corner. This is on BoxingScene.com, by the way. The WBC does not act on gossip or media postings unless a formal claim is presented to the WBC. Then they'll intervene. I'm not referring specifically to the matter of Fury. As far as the WBC is concerned, Fury has passed countless tests in the past 2 years when he's been fighting under the WBC umbrella. My personal opinion is that I would question the credibility that such allegations witnesses get money to tell lies, basically. Tyson Fury is the WBC heavyweight champ and absolute support of the organization. So that basically tells you all you need to know about the situation. So it would have to be an open investigation, or they'd have to come up with, you know, some proof and yada, yada, yada. So I don't think we should really think much is going to come out of that. But who knows? You never know. Just kind of talking about it a little bit here and there. Billy Joe Saunders did a coronavirus prank that got Josh Taylor and Ben Davidson kicked off a flight trying to go from here to the UK, or UK to, or wait, which one was it? Was the UK to US or vice versa? Sanders was heard laughing in an audio clip which surfaced on Friday as he recalled ringing Delta Airlines to tell them a friend of his has coronavirus. It was boarding the plane. So, yeah, that had to have been pretty – they had to have been pretty pissed off. He revealed his best mate – this is from the Mirror, by the way – had been kicked off the flight. And, of course, Josh Taylor caught up in the damn drama. This is what Fortunate Trio told Saunders. Oh, this is a separate clip. Well done, Billy Joe. Your plan worked. We're not on the flight now. We're in serious trouble, bruh. Brava. So thanks for that. Basically, me, Ben, and Josh pulled off the plane. We may be getting 24-hour hold because of this coronavirus thing. They said it's not a laughing matter. Now we're under severe scrutiny because they took it very seriously. They're not impressed. Billy Joe Saunders came out and, you know, he apologized. Publicly apologized, insist he made the call because he was generally concerned, just wanted to clear up a couple of issues by, you know, that's flying around social media. One of my best mates in camp was supposed to fly out yesterday. He didn't fly back because he felt a little poorly. Woke up this morning feeling a bit worse. Anyway, he made a decision to go back, and I didn't want him to go. Was going with Ben Davidson, who obviously trains me and my stablemate Josh Taylor. Anyway, they pulled him off the flight. When they pulled him off the flight, he had a test, and thank God they didn't come back for coronavirus. Like I said, nothing to be laughed at, you know, basically covering up his tracks. It sounded like, you know, I mean, it sounded like a prank that went bad, but it's not a big, thing when it comes, you know, not a big surprise, I should say, because that's Billy Joe Saunders, you know what I mean? He just does random stuff. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. Okay, Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Davis, okay? Now, in an interview, I believe, on Fight Hype, Leo Santa Cruz says the fight is going to be at 130. The fight will be at 130. So, that's great news. That's great news. I think that's phenomenal news. I mean, that makes the fight that much better, to be honest with you. I really think so, man. I mean, I'm really happy. That's a good weight. It's a tough weight, and it's a good weight in general, right? I mean, damn, dude. That's awesome.
The Olympics, it sounds like they haven't made it official, but it really sounds like that the Olympics is off till they're going to postpone it till 2021. Not a big surprise here, obviously, but you know, it is what it is. You know, no big surprise, like I said. But yeah, 2021. So that kind of sucks, man, for all those athletes, obviously pertaining to boxing. It sucks for all those kids that have, you know, done so much work for this, and then it just flies in the face. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, you're done. You know, it just sucks, man. It just sucks. Oh, by the way, the bread man, Stephen Edwards, did tell Steve Kim and now others, I think, that the reason why Julian Williams didn't enforce the rematch clause against Rosario is because he went underwent surgery on both of his eyes to clean up scar tissue. But there is a clear pathway to regain his belt. So that's why he didn't, at least that's what he's saying. You know what I mean? So there you have it. I think I wanted to cover, what, one more thing? Something like that? Is that what I – do I have one more item here? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, yeah. No, that. So, yeah, 2021 is looks like that's going to be the closest you know, time frame that they're going to do. So, you know, there's a bunch of fighters that put in a lot of work, and you know, unfortunately they are screwed. There's something else that I wanted to cover really quick. But yeah, I will be having like my boxing Twitter segments, because I got a ton of funny random crap that's just like, what is this person thinking, even? You know? But I'll save that for a different show. This is a little thing that I wanted to talk about. So it sounds like instead of March 28th, you know, they don't have a card this week at Showtime. And it was going to be a busy weekend, by the way. But it sounds like there's a chance they could, and this would be great, that they could change. Well, they're going to have to change the program either way, right? But they might try to show the entire Rafael Marquez versus Israel Vasquez trilogy in the three-hour time slot. So March 28th, this Saturday, that would be dope. That would be really good. That would be phenomenal. And then a good fight here. Eddie Hearn, now we don't know when it's going to happen, but Josh Warrington confirmed. Eddie Hearn and Josh Warrington, this is coming from Eddie, confirmed that they agreed to terms for a WBA and IBF featherweight world title unification against Khan Zhu. I think it's Zhu. And that would take place at Heading League Stadium in Leeds. That's a good fight. That's a good fight, and let's see, you know, how that goes. But, yeah, as far as the Olympics, just the official thing, on Sunday the IOC announced for the first time it was considering postponing games. Basically, they said they're going to, in the next 4 weeks, you know, we're gonna figure it out. But that, they basically, it's done. I'd say. Oh yeah, 72 cases linked coronaviruses, 72 cases linked to that Thailand boxing match. And there wasn't even a ton of folks there, if we're being honest. Oh, here's another little item here. The IBF contender, Charles Martin, number one contender, Charles Martin will likely face number four contender, Andy Ruiz, for a title eliminator. I don't know if I talked about that Martin Ruiz fight, but sign me up for it. That would be dope. Oh, my God, that'd be so fun. That would be so fun. But, you know, people are like, oh, that can't be for a mandatory. Remember, Joshua's belt is a mandatory, right? But you guys got to remember that his next fight, whenever it happens against Pulev, is the IBF Mando. The WBA has, you know, a Mando with Usyk set up. So this Mando needs to be called. It would be called for like over a year, and you never know. Joshua and Fury could fight at some point. He could lose it, and he could drop the belts. They may do that one fight, you know, and that's it, and they whoever wins drops the belt. So don't get too caught up in you know, dude, that'd be a bullshit Mando. Well, dude, who cares about the belt? Charles Martin and Andy Ruiz is a damn good fight. That's a damn good fight. So, and here's some Twitter. It's not boxing Twitter, but yes, the planet got destroyed. It's basically, I'll give you the setting. So it's this older person talking to kids around a campfire, and he says, yes, the planet got destroyed, but for a beautiful moment in time. Let me restart that. Yes, the planet got destroyed, but for a beautiful moment in time, we created a lot of value for our shareholders. Uh-huh. You know what that means. Well, here we go. This is kind of from Mark Ortega from well, he does work for Fox and WWE, and I think research work for the BBC and production and stuff like that. No sport – and this is a great tweet. It's really – true, too. No sport has the replay value that boxing has. I don't think I've ever watched any game more than a handful of times, but there are loads of fights I've watched dozens of times, and I probably have watched Corrales Castillo 100 times. That's a good point. That's a really good point. But like I said, I'm not going to hold you guys forever on this and just blab, blab, blab. Whether it's interviews, whether it's first quarter progress report in boxing, whether it's the PBC on Fox deal, and now that we're well into a year, I'll do my progress report on that. I'm going to have a guest on that for that, whether it's boxer, guest, whatever it is, whether it's boxing Twitter segments. I will have a little bit more on this UFC Endeavor thing. You know, they definitely have – I don't know. There's a reason cash flow – was doiled out in a variety of ways lately, and some of it's been mismanaged, obviously, but I will dig into that a little bit more too, I think, next week. But yeah, there's a reason why the UFC wants to get the ball rolling. And it's not just, hey, I love to watch fights, let's put it that way. And like I said, there's going to be a variety of topics that we'll get into. I'll try not to sit here and just milk you or bore you, you know what I mean? I'll try to keep it good quality content. Thanks for joining me tonight. You guys enjoy the show. Well, I was going to say enjoy the fights, but that's not going to happen. But, hey, like that tweet just said, dude, I mean, oh, yeah, in boxing Twitter segments, I mentioned that. I'm definitely going to – I have a lot of screenshots on a variety of topics that I'm going to address on boxing Twitter. And it's quite funny. Terrence Crawford fans have been going nuts. Some of them just love Crawford and that's it. They're not biased. They just love him. Some of them are like, all right, dude. And some of this stuff against Spence in this time has been like, dude, are you serious? Wow. I love me some TC. Because of his versatility, I do in the southpaw thing, I do favor him in a fight slightly over Spence. So we're gonna talk about all this stuff. But like I said, I have a lot of boxing Twitter stuff that is really, really entertaining. So until next time, I'll definitely be back next week. You guys take it easy and try to get through this as best as you can. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to get any dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.